Good morning and Shabbat Shalom. It's good to be here. Good to see you all. I'm Olivia Melnick. Thank you for the introduction. About a month ago, actually, my partner in ministry, who's changing the sign right now, you see his back. That's Doug. The other side is better. We started a new ministry called Shalom and Messiah, and we'll give you more information about that if you visit at the table. We don't have any brochures yet. It's really a month old, but this is a ministry that is going to focus even more so on equipping Christians on exposing anti-Semitism, equipping Christian and mobilizing Christians to reach out to the Jewish community with the gospel of Yeshua, Jesus. So we are really excited about this, and I do want to tell you about it. There is a number, a code there. This is not the winning lottery numbers, but you want to pay attention to that. And the reason why it's there is because I'm going to share some things with you today that are not going to be shared online, and you'll need this code when you go onto our website. So write it down somewhere before you forget, and there'll be one for each day. Okay. So what I want to do today is I want to talk to you about what changed since October 7th. I've been doing this for 23 years, fighting, exposing, educating people on anti-Semitism and equipping Christians to understand anti-Semitism so they can better understand how to relate to Jewish people with the gospel. And I tell you, and honestly I tell you, I never thought that I would be witnessing what we're witnessing globally right now in my own lifetime. And I've been doing this for 23 years. And 23 years ago, I used to tell people, this day will come. And people would look at me like they thought, like maybe I should wear a tinfoil yarmulke. But here we are, unfortunately. And so what do we do with it? So what, this morning, I want to tell you about what changed. This afternoon, I'm going to tell you what you are called to do to make a difference. And tomorrow morning, I want to tell you how you can do it. So you're stuck with me until tomorrow morning. Yeah? So let me open with a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to look at what's going on in the world. Lord, we want to filter all this through the truth, the only truth that we have, the only truth that matters, your word. And what does it say in your word about the Jewish people, about Israel, about the final days? And so, Lord, help us understand, help us be better equipped, and at the end of the day, Lord, help us be better equipped to share the gospel of the good news with our Jewish friends and family members, and in the process, bring you glory in Yeshua's name. Amen. So, this should work. It does. Okay, so let me start with this. The question I want to ask is, have Christians missed the mark in making the Jewish people jealous? I want to talk to you about... wait a second. Am I looking at the right PowerPoint? That's a good question. No. So, we're not going to pretend this is after lunch, because we really need to start with the first one. It's good that I know this right now. Okay, so how do I get out of this thing? This is not a Mac, so I'm not. Whoa, somebody did something. Okay, so, whoa. Okay, so let's look at the Hamas. There you go. So, Doug, we had the right code. We had the right... Oh, you have the right code. Okay, good. Okay. Good morning. Okay. Whew. All right. So, this afternoon... You got a preview of what's coming this afternoon. This could be cool. Okay. So, let's look at what... let's look at Hamas war 2023, what changed after October 7th, 2023? Okay, because that's what, we need that as a foundation. On October 7th, 2023, Hamas launched a major terrorist attack from the Gaza Strip into Israel. It turned out to be, as we know today, the heaviest Jewish death toll since the Holocaust in one day. Okay. Originally, people thought it was 1,400 people that were killed, which was a big number. And I like to bring that up because it shows the honesty of the Israeli government and the IDF. They said, it sounds terrible and gory, but we actually were able to put body parts together and check the DNA, and it's only 1,200. It's a lot still. In the midst of a war like this, in the midst of a terrorist attack, within a couple of weeks after October 7th, Israel came back and said, it's not 1,400, it's 1,200. That's honesty right there. When the other side inflates the numbers right and left, Israel, in the midst of that tragedy, said, it's only 1,200. It's still 1,200 too many. It's still a tragedy. It's a massacre. There are savages who did that. We're going to get through that. But I just want to bring that up because I was impressed with that. So I want to talk a little bit about, I want to tell you a little bit about Hamas, okay? Who's Hamas? Well, Hamas took over Gaza Strip in 2006 elections. That's on the left, it's Ismail Haniyeh. They won by 44.45. And on the right is the Fatah leader, Mahmoud Abbas, who lost. So Hamas has been in charge of the Gaza Strip since 2006 with no, I repeat, zero Jewish settlements. Okay? The Gaza Strip is completely Palestinian. There's no Jews there. So we'll get back to that. That's important. So now we've got this leader, Ismail Haniyeh, who, by the way, doesn't live in the Gaza Strip. He lives in Qatar. Okay? In a very comfortable place. Who is Hamas? You've heard, I'm sure, that Hamas means violence. Who's heard that? Hamas spells the word violence. Hebrew, it's true. It's true. It's the same. Hamas in Hebrew means violence. But this is not why they call themselves Hamas. Sorry to disappoint. Okay, they would not pick a Jewish Hebrew word to say, we're going to call this No, they wouldn't do that. Hamas is an acronym for Araka al-Mukawama al-Islamiyah. And it's an acronym that has the HMS words, and they put a couple of A's in there to make it pronounceable, so now it's known as Hamas. Just like the Tanakh, the Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ketuvim, Torah, prophet, and writings, we put a couple of A's, the Jewish people, in there to call it the Tanakh, because the tk doesn't sound very good. So we put A's, so it's the Tanakh. They put A's, so it's Hamas. Okay, so it's not. Now, are they not violent? Of course they are. But their name is not after the Hebrew word. It was created in 1988 as a chapter of the Muslim Brotherhood, which was created in Egypt in 1928. The Muslim Brotherhood slogan or motto, and I'm giving it to you because Hamas basically duplicated it for them, is Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, Quran is our law, jihad is our way, dying in the way of Allah is our highest hope. You have a group of people here, definitely under Hamas umbrella, but broader in the Arab world, that worships death, dealing with the rest of the world, valuing human life. So that's going to be very difficult to communicate at any level. And that's the main problem that we have today. So we have people who really worship death and people who value human life. It's bound to clash. Okay? So some of the articles of the Hamas manifesto, you can find it online. It's not a secret. 1988 Hamas charter, I think it's called Hamas charter, not manifesto, reiterates the Muslim Brotherhood slogan. So they basically take their slogan and say, this is ours. We agree with that. In Article 13, they say there is no negotiated settlement possible. Jihad is the only answer. Well, there goes the concept of the two-state solution down the drain. Don't even pretend. It's in their charter. We are not interested in a two-state solution. They say it right there. They claim In Article 21, it claimed that Jewish influence over the whole world, that's one of the oldest anti-Semitic tropes in the history of the Jewish people. Article 33, I'm skipping on purpose, asks Muslims worldwide to unite for the liberation of Palestine. I wonder when we're going to start seeing that. Right? We're there. We are there. Okay? Pro-Palestinian people are unifying, getting together worldwide to claim that Palestine shall be free. Go back to Article 32. Hamas promotes the 1904 Russian hoax known as the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, which is a little pamphlet. You can also find it on the internet. It's still sold on Amazon. And I wouldn't waste your money because you can find it on the internet and not pay for it, because that's how much it's worth. It's claiming that basically they claim that a group of Jewish leaders got together to plot how to control the world, the political parties, and the banks. Those are some of the covers, many different covers, in different languages, painting a very, very a positive picture of Jewish people, as you can see. You know, controlling the world like a big spider over the planet, or sitting on a bunch of skulls with money. All those, you know, anti-Semitic tropes. So those are covers of the for the booklet, The Protocols of the Elders of Zion. Hamas adheres by the lies of that booklet, like many countries in the Middle East, and like basically any anti-Semitic group will tell you the Jews were trying to control the world. We're trying to control the world, the banks, Hollywood, political parties, everything. So, now, this is a week old. I hope the sound will work. I'm sure we tried it, so I'm sure it should work. Martin Griffiths, that's not Martin Griffiths, he's on the bottom, you can see his face, serves as the Under Secretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief Coordinator at the United Nations. I think the longer the titles, the more important you feel. So, that guy has a long title, and he claims that Hamas is not a terrorist group at the United Nations. Almost 80 years ago, 1947, the United Nations, in November 27, I think, of 1947, the United Nations got together and voted for the partitioning of Palestine. And we'll talk about Palestine in a minute, so don't walk away on me because I used the word Palestine, okay? But voted for the partitioning of Palestine, United Nations voted, and it passed, and the USA, of course, was in favor of it. Many countries were in favor of it. And how far we have gone in what? Less than 80 years, and listen to this. So there you have it. The truth from the United Nothing. Hamas is not a terrorist group. It's a political party. Well, and this is an interview with Australian channel Sky News about a week ago. It's very fresh. Well, I got news for you, friends. Hamas members are not political activists. They're not militants. They're not resistance fighters. They're not freedom fighters. They are terrorist. What happened on October 7th was one of the worst terrorist attack in the history of Israel. By the way, I failed to mention at the beginning of this presentation, when I almost went with the wrong one, that I'm going to give you, because I see people taking photos of the screen, you can do this all you want, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to get the whole presentation of every single one of my messages for free. Okay, so and that's what that code is for. So just relax. It's not really a relaxing topic, but you know, don't try to take notes. Take pictures if you want. That's perfectly fine. But I'll give you the original version. Okay, so terrorists, what they do? Terrorists thrive on false narratives, historical revisionism, and they count on people's ignorance of history. And well, we're doing real good right now because most people don't have a clue about what's going on in history. You know, they either don't care, or they were sold something that they believe is good because it sounds like it's the right thing to believe for social justice, the era we live in. But the reality is, you know, Hamas claims that, for instance, that Israel is Palestinian land stolen and occupied by Jews. The truth about Palestinian identity, I want to tell you a little bit about Palestinian identity. I don't have a problem calling Palestine Palestine. Really? No, I don't. Until 1948. Because until 1948, as much as I don't care for the word, because it is a word that was that goes back centuries, that was brought in by the Romans to humiliate Israel and the Jewish people, and it kind of stuck, but it was really like in 133, I think, A.D. And it always makes me laugh when I see the map in the back of my Bible that says Palestine in the times of Jesus. Well, he was gone in 133. So right there it's wrong. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. But so let me show you something that I find fascinating, because I don't have a problem calling Palestine. I don't like the word, but it's like a piece of land. And some of you have already heard me say that. I'm just going to go this in passing, but it's worth repeating. Piece of land that describes Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. Well, let me show you the one flag that you might have seen a lot on social networks, on TV and books and magazines, on the street, on campuses. It's this one. T-shirts, flags, coats, hats. You see it everywhere. That's the Palestinian flag. It's very unique. Very unique. It's one of its kind, unless you look at the Jordanian flag. Then it's not so unique. Because many of the Palestinians of yesteryear came from Jordan and the countries all around Israel. They were Arabs. Back then, they were not calling themselves Palestinians. It's become a politically charged word now that I cannot use anymore. But let me show you a little more about the flag. I have a dictionary at home. I almost brought it here, and I was afraid it was going to get damaged if people look at it and turn the pages. I have this dictionary at home, 1939 version of the Petit Larousse Dictionnaire, which is a yearly dictionary that gets published every year in France, and the 1939 edition was the 200th edition of the dictionary, and it still gets published today. So it's going on every year. And the 1939 edition looks like this. On the flag page, you have two pages of flags. It's 1939, so you should expect a German flag to reflect Germany in 1939. And that is correct. So far, so good. Is there a Palestinian flag there? Well, let's look. The right page, the third line, third from the left. Whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That is the Palestinian flag. Why? Because in 1939, 9 years before Israel was reborn as a modern nation, Palestine was a landmass that described Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. You don't believe me? I'll give you another proof. Here is a coin. I have three of those at home. Okay? They're not hard to get. Palestinian coin. Arabic on top that says Philistine, Palestine in English, and Palestina in Hebrew, from right to left. And a parenthesis that has two letters, the Aleph and the Yod. The letter that looks like an X is the Aleph, and the little comma or a little is the yod and apostrophe. Thank you. English is my second language. Plus, you know, apostrophe is so hard to remember for me because French is apostrophe. So I couldn't. Yeah. So the little apostrophe Aleph Yod is the two initials for Eretz Israel. There was a need. There was they felt like it was necessary on every coin in Israel back in those days, 1927, by the way, 21 years before 1948, that we needed to let people know that Palestine is really Eretz Israel. And nobody cared, but it was there. It was also on the money. It's hard to tell on the screen, but it's right there on top of that little red bar, parenthesis, Aleph Yod, Eretz Israel. That's 9 years on the £1 Palestine currency, your currency, £1 bill, right there. So Palestine, I have no problem with the word, but really, Palestine is just a name of a landmass that we know as Eretz Israel or the land of Israel. Okay? So now, I want to go a little bit over what Hamas Israel 2023, what it is and what it's not. I'm going to start with what it's not. I'm going to go fast. Again, you will get the notes, and shocker, you might not even agree with me. Some of you might go like, really? Okay, so Hamas Israel 2023, is this the start of Psalm 83 war? Okay, in Psalm 83 war, which by the way, this psalm, I did a message on this, based on this psalm in, well, I think 1999. When I was, I started late in life, I was doing my undergrad at Moody Bible Institute, and professor asked me to do a message, and I did a message on that, and that's what got me started. And some of you might know the name Dr. Michael Rydelnik. It might, okay? Well, he's the one who got me started, and he's the one responsible for me being so involved in teaching about anti-Semitism, and I thank him for that. But we didn't know when that happened. But look at the beginning of the psalm that Asaph wrote. For behold, your enemies make an uproar, and Asaph is talking to God. And those who hate you have exalted themselves. They make shrewd plans against you, your people, and conspire together against your treasured ones. They have said, come and let us wipe them out as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. This is like news. You watch this on the news right now. You'll see people saying, come and let us wipe them out as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. I can think of one country right now, Iran. That's exactly their philosophy. For they have conspired together with one mind against you, they make a covenant. Here's a point I don't want you to miss. When you conspired against Israel, you conspired against the God of Israel. When you hate the Jews, you hate God. Incompatible. So don't, and I'm not speaking to you, friends, but in generally speaking, do not call yourself a Christian and say, I love God, but those Jews, you know, that doesn't work that way. If you love God, you love His Word. And if you love His Word, you read His Word. And if you read His Word, almost on every page, at least of the Hebrew Scripture, it talks about Israel. Okay? So let's not forget that. But is this war right now, is this the war Psalm 83? Well, in Psalm 83, verse 6 through 8, we read about the different groups that Asaph is saying are going after Israel. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelite, Moab and the Hagrites, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek and Philistia were the inhabitants of Tyre and Assyria. Also has joined with them. They have become a help to the children of Lot. So what are those names? What do they represent? Well, right there, if you put them together in a more modern translation, Edom, Moab, and Ammon would be about Jordan, Ishmaelites, Saudi Arabia, Agarines and Amalek, Egypt, Gebal and Tyre, Lebanon, Gaza Strip is Philistia, and Iraq, Syria is Assyria. So those are all the countries that are, you're looking at this, you go like, whoa, this could be it. Well, never all 10 countries have ever gone against Israel as a confederacy ever before. Egypt and Jordan, and that's a big deal. Egypt and Jordan have a peace treaty with Israel right now. So I'm not seeing that happening anytime soon. If they both go against Israel, which they might, they probably will, because in Zechariah we're told that the whole world will go against Jerusalem. So we know it's coming. But here, I think it's more of a literary device by Asaph, akin to saying the whole world is against us. You picture this man driving back from work. His wife has left him. His children are dealing with drugs. And he just lost his job. His house got repoed. And he's driving home and his car breaks down. He stops on the side of the road and he's going like, the whole world is against me. Well, that's just a way of saying, I'm not having a good day. Okay, in a way, I mean, and the analogy breaks, you know, it's not perfect, but I don't think that the war of Psalm 83 is a real war. And some of you might disagree. And if you disagree with me, talk to Dr. David Reagan, because he'll tell you about the 9 wars of the Bible later. So if you disagree with me, talk to Dr. Reagan. You can talk to me too. Okay. So, I don't think Hamas is the Psalm 83 war, because I'm not even sure it's a real war. Okay, but, let's go back. It doesn't mean that those countries will not go against Israel. Those are not, you know, it will happen, but it doesn't have to be under the banner of the Psalm 83 war. Okay, enough said about that, because we're running out of time. You're not listening fast enough. So next, Gog and Magog. I'm opening a lot of can of worms here. So on this one, I'm going to go really fast. All the names in Ezekiel 38, Gog and Magog. And really, honestly, and I'm saying this with no jokes, if you really want to get good understanding of Gog and Magog, I'm probably not the person to ask. So in the Q&A tonight, ask Dr. Andy Woods, because you'll have the answers, or Dr. Reagan. I'll point, if you ask me a question about Gog and Magog tonight, I will look at Andy and say, it's yours. But, just in passing, Gog is a person, Magog, former Soviet Union, Rosh, Russia, Meshech and Tubal, Turkey, Persia is Iran, Ethiopia, Sudan, Put, Libya, Gomer, Central Turkey, Beth Togarma, Turkey. And what I notice about Gog and Magog that is a recurring theme is that In Ezekiel 38, I know I skipped a slide, but you're getting all the slides, remember? Ezekiel 38:8, and they are living securely. And 11, that live securely. 14, living securely. This will take place when Israel lives securely. Is Israel living securely right now? Okay, so we're not in Gog and Magog. It's that simple. When is it going to happen? I don't know, but it looks like to me probably between the rapture and the midpoint of the tribulation. Because at the midpoint, pun intended, all hell breaks loose. So, but that's it. So I just said that. I'm going to keep moving. Hamas is not the war of Gog and Magog. Is it leading towards it? I think all the events that we're seeing in front of us right now are leading towards all that. Yes. It is the beginning of the Great Tribulation. Well, are we here? I mean, I know my brother this morning said, like, some people believe that we're not here. Well, ow! I just pinched myself. I'm here. Okay? We're here. And unless there was either a partial rapture or they took another group of people, we're not in a tribulation. Okay? So, I don't think we're going to spend too much time on this. We're not. The Hamas-Israel war is not the beginning of the Great Tribulation. Could it be the setting of the stage for the prophecies of Zechariah 12? I will say yes. I will say yes. The burden of the word of the Lord concerning Israel, thus declares the Lord who stretches out the heavens, lay the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes reeling to all the peoples around. And when the siege is against Jerusalem, it will also be against Judah. It will come about in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will be severely injured, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. Are we getting in that direction? Absolutely. Absolutely. No question in my mind. A lot closer and a lot faster than before October 7th. But God is not surprised or powerless. Okay? In 12:3, all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. And in 12:9, and in that day I will set, God speaking, I will set about to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Don't mess with the Jewish people, because you're messing with God. Going back to Psalm 83. Verse 5. So, yes, Hamas could be the setting of the stage for the prophecies of Zechariah 12. Absolutely. I think that's where we're heading towards. Now, we know what it's not. Let's take a look. Let's bring it back to today and find out a little more about what's going on. What is Hamas? So I've already told you it's the heaviest Jewish death toll since the Holocaust. Now, I want to warn you, the next few slides, not the next one, but the next two after that, are graphic. So if you don't want to see a graphic slide, or if you have children, or if you're watching online and you have children, the next two or three slides they might not want to see, okay? Just saying. But what I'm trying to bring to your attention is how all the events of anti-Semitism that are taking place right now are converging towards what I call, I just published an article on my on our website at shalomandmessiah.com on the coming of a global Kristallnacht. Global Kristallnacht. I'll tell you in a minute what Kristallnacht is all about. So you can read that article, share it with people, and you can also see the video version on our YouTube channel, Shalom and Messiah. So look at this. France, that's probably about, I'm going to say 2 months old. 1938, Berlin, night of 9th through 10th of November 1938, known today as Kristallnacht, the night of broken glass. This is the official date of the starting point of the Holocaust, according to all serious historians, okay? And that's, you know, where you saw the painting of the Jewish stars and the word Yud or Juden on the Jewish storefronts, burning of 7,500 pieces of property, many synagogues, killing Jewish people. In the scope of the Holocaust, only about 100 Jewish people died during Kristallnacht. But that's irrelevant because that was the starting point of the 6 million. Okay, so keep that in mind. But what scares me is the bottom picture. 2023, Paris, where I'm from. You thought I was from Texas, I know. I'm from Paris. You see those Jewish stars on the picture? They were painted overnight. To do what? To identify where the Jews live. No difference. No difference. That's very scary. My family is still in France. My sister and my three nephews and nieces, they are, my sister is probably, you know, she's 10 years older than me, so she's 39. But she's probably not going to move to Israel, but the kids are really seriously thinking because it's like France, we're done. It's not safe anymore. France is not the only country. So that's the... to identify where the Jews live. Terrifying if you don't know Yeshua. So, you've been warned. 1943, Auschwitz, the ovens where the dead bodies picked up from the gas chambers were put and burnt. By the way, one of those dead bodies was my grandfather. And in 2023, burnt bodies in cars near the kibbutz that was... savagely attacked by a Hamas terrorist. So I definitely see some parallels there. What about this? Children being picked up to put on a cart, dead children put on a cart in 1946 during the Holocaust era. 2023, a little child, a little baby, probably not even a year old, killed. And that's one of the cleanest photo I could find. So Hamas committed genocide, ethnic cleansing, and crimes against humanity. Interesting, and we'll talk more about this after lunch, this is exactly what Israel is being accused of right now. Who is even talking about October 7th anymore? Within a week it was over. Within a week it was over, and now the whole world is concentrating on Israel is committing crimes against humanity. What about the 1,200 people that were savagely raped, maimed, burnt, killed, you name it? Hamas committed a pogrom, an organized massacre of a particular ethnic group. A pogrom. That's what happened in Russia during the era of Fiddler on the Roof. That's when my great-grandmother, Rachel Shimkovitz, left Russia to come to France to escape the pogroms. And this was exactly what took place on October 7th, a pogrom against Israeli Jews. Tell them I'm not available. Global anti-Semitism has been unleashed with an unprecedented destructive agenda. This is really picking up a lot of speed. Those numbers need to be updated because they're about a month old, and I know it's more now. But USA, anti-Semitism is up by 500%. United Kingdom, 1,300%. Austria, 300%. Germany, 240%. And I know that France is close to 1,000%. This is from the ADL. ADL, by the way, the Anti-Defamation League, I appreciate their gathering of data. They're really good at it. I don't always agree with their liberal conclusions. But for the gathering of numbers, they can be trusted. Just saying. Okay, you haven't heard this on the news or seen this on the news at all. I'm making this up, right? From the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free. What really would be funny, almost like Saturday Night Live funny, is if you saw the clip of this person interviewing young people on the street saying, which river and which sea? Oh, the Gaza River and the Black Sea. And I'm not making it up. I should get that video, really, because it shows how stupid the people that are saying this are. They don't know. They think it's a social justice, you know, free Palestine. They're being oppressed by the occupiers. But really, from the river, the Jordan River, to the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, Palestine shall be free. No Jews. Why? Because we're going to kill them all. And Palestine will reign. That will be the one state solution. Because remember, Hamas is not interested in any settlements or any two-state solution. Not that the two-state solution is the answer. The messianic state solution is the answer, if you know what I mean. It's called the kingdom. And it's a lot bigger than what we have right now. It's twice the size of Texas. You're going from New Jersey to twice the size of Texas. I know. That's pretty cool. So, but this calls for the complete annihilation of all Jewish people. Hamas pogrom, okay, so look at this. This was in New York, Free Palestine. This was in South Florida. I stand with Palestine. They don't have a clue what they're saying. And some groups actually are even completely opposed ideologically to the Palestinian and to the Hamas ideology. There is a group called Queers for Palestine. Do you know how long they would survive on the Gaza Strip? New York students tearing down flyers of Israeli hostages. This has, every time I look at this, I want to cry. Last night at the banquet, a good friend Corey was showing pictures of some of those real hostages. Some of them are still in Gaza. Some of them are even dead. We don't even know. And here we have New York University students tearing off, and it was done in several different places, tearing off flyers because, yeah, this is fake news. It breaks my heart. This is the country I'm from. This is on the Place de la République in the center of Paris. Big, big, big protest, pro-Hamas protest. And there was a lot of people around that on that plaza, but not as many as this. In Yemen, pro-Hamas protest in Yemen. There was also one that took place in India. I shouldn't say that, but it always kind of makes me laugh. And this is nothing against India, okay? But I thought it was interesting that the people that organized the pro-Hamas protest on the streets of some city in India got the flag wrong, and they were protesting on the streets holding the Italian flag. I'm sure Italy is not very happy about that. I should find the picture, but this is no time to make fun of anything. This, I just found out that the Red Cross has done absolutely nothing in Gaza for the hostages. Now, the Red Cross, I was going to put their mission statement is to help people. I mean, who doesn't know the Red Cross, right? They do a lot of good. Well, they have done nothing to help the hostages in Hamas. Nothing. Which is really reflected by the look of Bibi on the lady who was in charge of that chapter of the Red Cross. He's not too happy. Okay. This also just got very recently, 64%, because of what happened on Harvard and Penn and MIT, 64% of Jewish teens are now considering anti-Semitism as an important factor in their college search. You know, is the professor of such a topic the best one? Is this school the best for becoming a lawyer, becoming a doctor, becoming no more. Jewish kids are going like, how bad is anti-Semitism? Because this was the school I wanted to go to, but right now, maybe not so much. Because I do want to get a training, I don't want to get a degree, I don't want to get a career, but I don't want to risk my life doing it. And that's where they are right now. This is very scary. How about this? This happened February, a couple of weeks ago. That's another thing that leads towards the Kristallnacht 2024, or the upcoming Kristallnacht, global Kristallnacht. This is a flyer in Hebrew that was put on the door of a Switzerland ski shop in Davos. You might have heard of Davos, the World Economic Forum. Well, it's also a ski resort, okay? I used to go ski and live in France, go ski in Switzerland all the time. I know, you're jealous. So it says this on the sign: after a series of annoying incidents, including the theft of a sled, we are no longer renting out sporting equipment to our Jewish brothers. Because it's a known fact. Jews steal stuff. Because we love money, we're greedy, so we steal stuff. It's only the Jews. But no, but it's not anti-Semitic. I mean, they got so much criticism for this, but it was not anti-Semitic. If it was not anti-Semitic, you know how you do it? You say, stuff has been stolen, it's returned, and it's broken. We have a fee. If you don't return on the time of, there's going to be a late fee. If you return and it's broken, there's going to be a charge because it's the way it's supposed to be. For everybody, any of our patrons, basically, if you don't return on time and in good shape, you will be charged a fee. I'm okay with that. I'd sign that. But for them to say, and on the, what's ironic is that on the flyer, they say, we are no longer going to, trying to soften the blow, we're no longer going to rent to our Jewish brothers. Really? Okay. So I want to finish with, oh my goodness, perfect timing. I want to finish with this. I want you to listen to this, this little clip by Sarah Huckabee Sanders. You know who she is, right? And then the question that I'm asking is, what can we do about it? Can we do something about it? Well, that question will be answered after lunch. So before I finish with this, it's going to be just on time. And I'm going to tell you about what's going to happen. I think after that slide, I will show you, there's a QR code on the screen. I'm going to leave it on the screen when I'm done. You can take a snapshot of that QR code. That QR code is going to take us to Shalom and Messiah, when you can get my daily devotions that I publish every morning fresh from my own devotions. Like this morning was done this morning in my hotel room. So it's always fresh, daily devotions, my articles, the videos, the PowerPoints of today and tomorrow. It's all there, and it's going to ask you to put your information, and there's going to be a code. It's going to ask you for a code. If you want to get the stuff, you want to put that code, and there's another reason for that code. The deeper reason for that code is something to do with the rescuing of Jewish people that I'm going to tell you about and prepare you for this afternoon after lunch. But make sure you write that code and make sure you take a snapshot of the QR code after we're done with this beautiful 2-minute message from Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Hopefully it will work.
They wanted her to understand the importance of standing up against evil, so they decided to bring her. The girl's father promised to stay with her throughout the entire time they were in the museum. If he said it became too much, he'd simply take her outside. As they walked through Yad Vashem, the girl watched videos of entire families being marched to their deaths. She saw the hundreds of shoes taken right off of the feet of Jewish children her own age, and piled high to the urn. She listened as the names of the 1.5 million Jewish children murdered by the Nazis were read off one by one, and was told it takes months to get through the full list. The 11-year-old girl didn't speak at all as she walked through each of the exhibits. She gripped her father's hand tighter and tighter. He worried that they'd made a mistake, that it was too much for her to take in and to wrap her. Eventually, they got to the end of the museum, where there was a guest book for visitors to sign. The girl reached up and took a pen out of the father's shirt pocket and he looked over her shoulder. The father watched as his daughter wrote down her name and her address, and then in careful handwriting, the little girl paused and wrote, "Why didn't somebody do something?" Tears welled in the father's eyes. In that moment, he knew that she got it. Very simply, why didn't somebody do something? He knew that his daughter understood. He knew that she understood that all it takes for evil to win is for good people to stand by and do nothing. I know this story and the impact it had because I was that girl. In the ongoing battle between good and evil, each of us can do something. And I know each of you will. I certainly know the American people will. And we will stand with you. Together, we will stand against evil, and we will never apologize for it. With God as our witness, we know how this story ends. The enemy will be defeated, and good will prevail.
Well, they're very powerful words. I just found out recently, through my friend John Markell, who played that clip, and I didn't know that she had gone through that. So I want to leave you with that because, you know, everybody can do something. And that is going to be where we're going with the message that I have for you this afternoon. What can we do and how are we going to do it? So thank you for listening. And Pastor Andy.